Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, Dickinson College, and the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, to help me understand a story I have fresh from the battlefront about a new weapon called a howitzer in the battle zone for the Ukrainians. The story is straightforward. Ukrainian soldiers reportedly shelled a Russian base with a newly delivered NATO howitzer from a distance of over 12 miles. A statement by the 128th Mountain Assault Transcarpathian Brigade of the Ukrainian ground forces claimed it fired from a NATO-supplied howitzer from a distance of 20 kilometers, 12 miles. The brigade said it hit the base of the Russian command staff and destroyed a military SUV Mark Z, killing several enemy soldiers with the shot. A time-lapse video, the story shows, shows the arrival of a 155-caliber projectile and the moment of its explosion. Jeff, a very good evening to you. We've talked in general about heavy weapons arriving in the battle zone. And I mention artillery because you know artillery. That was your experience in the 20th century for the U.S. Army. Now, I'm impressed that you can hit anything 12 miles away. Were they aiming at it, and how did they find it? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, actually, I believe they hit what they were targeting. But what this shows is the Ukrainians, over time now, perfecting what I would call the artillery system. Everybody focuses on the gun, the platform, the big the weapon itself, but it's only a part of the system. The system begins with identifying a target. That's either, if it's a counter-battery radar system, by it firing if you're shooting at enemy artillery. It can be identified by observers. It can be identified by helicopter observers. It can be identified by drones. So the target location then is passed back to a fire direction center. That fire direction center has to process it, prioritize it against other targets that are coming in, calculate the firing data, pass that to the gun. And then a selection of ammunition has to be made appropriate to that particular target. So it seems they have mastered all that and the communications necessary to do that both quickly and securely. So they're mastering that system. What we don't know in detail from the Pentagon is what type of ammunition has been provided to the Ukrainians. We know for the U.S., for the 155 howitzers we've provided, which now I'd number about 108 or about six battalions worth of 155 towed howitzers, we provided the Ukrainians 200,000 rounds of ammunition. This could include such things as the Excalibur, which is a smart round, which could home in on that target, as you described, or some of the other rounds they have, which can be guided to target by a laser designator, which could be done by a helicopter observer. I doubt that was used, or by a drone system, perhaps, or by a ground observer designating the target, and the round homes in on that laser footprint. But they clearly are doing all those things and doing it very precisely in being able to hit a target at that range and doing it on the first volley without making subsequent adjustments.
And the targeting, do they use drones and then the direction is, well, they can't correct. It sounds like they fired one round and they hit what they were aiming at.
Right.
So who spotted it, the drone?
Drone could have spotted it initially and provided the targeting data. And then if they fired a smart round, it would home in on that particular location. Or I think some of the drones can be equipped with laser designators. I know helicopters can be equipped with laser designators that would provide a footprint on that target. Or if you've got a ground observer that can see that and they have with them a laser designator, they could provide a laser designator on the target that the round can then home in on if it's equipped to do that. But it gets down to that ultimate question, John, of what kinds of smart munitions have we provided the Ukrainians in that overall military shipment of now 200,000 plus rounds of 155 ammo.
All right, 12 miles, that apparently doesn't impress you artillery officers. It impresses me. But when you have a 12-mile zone, just start with that. You're no longer compelled to contact the enemy with your infantry. You can stand back and destroy the enemy's command posts, his weapon systems, his reinforcements. That begins to resemble what the Institute for the Study of War gives us each day, which I recommend to the audience, because what we're looking at here is suddenly a static front, or one that appears to be static, using natural barriers such as rivers and hillsides and forests. But with these big guns, Jeff, they can throw this enormous amount of iron at each other, explosions and irons, and not lose casualties, so that the whole story now becomes spotting, artillery, and accuracy. And the better the Ukrainians get, the more damage they're going to do against the Russians. Do the Russians have comparable equipment on their side throwing it back?
They do. The Russian doctrine always called, and we've talked about it before, John, the use of mass. Mass can be defined as mass of vehicles and personnel. If you're doing an armored advance, mass can certainly be artillery. And it seems clear to me, based on the losses they've suffered to manpower and equipment, they are going in the direction of that artillery war that you now describe, a war of attrition, which they've done in the past. They did this in Chechnya. They did this to a degree in Syria. Stand back and pound on some place until you got it into rubble, and then see if your forces can advance. The problem that they have here is they didn't have in Chechnya, they didn't have in Syria, is now they have an opponent that has their own artillery. And in fact, with the new 155s, the Ukrainian artillery can actually outrange, in some cases, the Russian artillery. Furthermore, that's equipped with counter-battery radar systems, which can pick up the firing of Russian guns and use that to triangulate and locate the location of those Russian batteries and shoot back at them. This presents the Russians with a couple problems. A quick metaphor might be helpful, John. It's kind of like boxing. I don't know if you ever boxed, but the one thing you never want to do is box somebody who has much longer arms than you do. It becomes very difficult to get inside and do them any damage. Same as here, if you have artillery and you totally outrange your opponent, it makes it very difficult for them to get at you because of those range disparities. Second of all, once you demonstrate a capability of doing this quickly, and don't forget that disastrous river crossing where the Russians lost nearly a battalion tactical group, it prevents the Russians from massing for the offensive, because every time they mass forces, they worry about target acquisition and an incoming artillery barrage that'll wipe them out.
I watched a video about what the remains of the Russian equipment trying to cross that river crossing. What was that, about a week ago or more? The latest count was more than 100 vehicles, but the walkthrough with the video showed all these weapons and the mobile carriers and their personnel carriers and their tanks just turned into trash. And the trees were all about no more than 12 feet high. Some of them had pieces of metal sticking in them. So what the Ukrainians were able to do is to bring down an amount of fire. I imagined it, as you've said, Jeff, like 1916 when they opened an offensive. It just rained fire. So therefore, the reason I'm walking closely to this is there used to be an air-land battle concept. It seems that the air is absent here. What we have is an infantry-artillery match, and that's a stalemate, Jeff, isn't it? I mean, that's what 1916 was, a stalemate.
That's exactly right, John. You know, in recent testimony before Congress by Avril Haines, the director of Central Intelligence, as well as the head of the DIA, both of them testified in public testimony before Congress that they saw this war moving towards stalemate. And one of the things that still bemuses me, and you're right again about air-land battle, but it was a coordination not only of ground and artillery, it was a coordination of air as well, attack aircraft and attack helicopters, which we used very, very effectively in the Gulf War I was in back in 1991. Here, the Russians have been totally unable to provide any measure of close air support to kind of assist, you know, ground offensive. They're down to flying about 150 sorties a day, far below what they were at initially. Very few of those even go into Ukrainian airspace. which either suggests they're having problems coordinating that with ground, which seems to be true, or they're also concerned about the Ukrainians' ability to put up an air defense shield, which kind of takes that advantage the Russians might naturally have due to their larger air force and their larger combat helo force, take to great advantage. So that leaves them with no air, and we're back to an artillery-to-artillery ground combat.
One more detail, the Black Sea Basin. This is an editorial in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. Vladimir Putin's Ukraine war is spreading humanitarian and economic hardship far and wide. On deck is a global food shortage. The world needs a strategy to break Russia's blockade of Ukrainian ports so it can export food and other goods. And that probably means a plan to use warships to escort merchant ships out of the Black Sea. Is this a bridge too far, Jeff? Getting warships into the Black Sea would require the Bosphorus. I mean, we're back to, well, for heaven's sakes, you got to deal with Turkey. You got to deal with all of it. It seems like it's too much for NATO to pull off.
It would be very difficult, I think, to get consensus about doing a military operation which would put a NATO fleet in direct confrontation with a Russian fleet in the Black Sea. That being said, absent that, we now have 20 million tons of grain in Ukrainian ports that can't be exported. The World Food Organization estimates that 1.8 billion people on this planet may be affected. And in those countries already facing food shortages like Yemen, Afghanistan, we're talking outright starvation. I think right now, if you look at what's going on in Sri Lanka, this is kind of the canary in the mine shaft in terms of social dislocation, social instability, and unrest brought about by economic challenges. And that could spread very quickly, John, if this continues to be a problem, not only in those places like Afghanistan and Yemen that are in very dire circumstances to begin with, but even other places in North Africa, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Syria, Iraq, et cetera, that are very, very dependent on wheat supplies coming out of Ukraine.
Ursula von der Leyen, president of the European Commission, declared that Russia is using hunger and grain to wield power, and that is a weapon that will work long distance. Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired, CBS News, Dickinson College, the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. It's a world war. We're headed to East Asia, over the Sea of Japan. Strategic bombers. I'm John Batch.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.